With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
What if AI could help your business deliver mission-critical outcomes with speed? With IBM Consulting, your business can design, build, and scale trusted AI using Watson X, and modernize the way you work to accelerate real impact. Let's create AI that transforms your business. Learn more at ibm.com/consulting. IBM. Let's create.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
That's right, and we're broadcasting live from the TireRack.com studios. TireRack.com will help you get there with an unmatched selection, fast, free shipping, free road hazard protection, and over 10,000 recommended installers. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be. Kerry, you know, we have all these phrases in sports, but they say the best one is Game 7. Have a Game 7 tipping off in under an hour. From right now, the Orlando Magic and the Cleveland Cavaliers. Listen, I know America. It hasn't been on TNT or ESPN, it feels like. This is the NBA TV series. But I promise you, it's Game 7 today.
It is Game 7. Yeah, these guys have been fighting it out. And it's crazy because Cleveland came out punching right away. I thought that series would be over pretty quickly. The young Magic fought back, and now we're here at Game 7, and it's time to roll, man.
Yeah, no. See, I wasn't with you there because I've been rooting. I'm a radio guy, right? I'm not reporting. I'm not Adam Schefter out here. I'm not Sharania or Adrian Wojnarowski. No. I pick sides.
You said okay. Sham Sharonioni? What'd you say?
Whatever.
Oh, okay, cool. All right. Yeah. That guy.
Yeah. I pick sides, Kerry. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? This matters to me, right? You know what I mean? I don't just not care who wins and loses sometimes. Mm. I am rooting for the Orlando Magic. With the fire of 1,000 suns,
oof,
I am rooting for them with all of my heart and nerve and sinew. Everything I got, all my bones, my blood, my heart, everything for the Orlando Magic. I do not want to see the Cleveland Cavaliers advance.
Mm, that's a lot of energy.
Do you know why?
I want to know why right now. Like, I don't even want to wait right now.
Because what Cleveland did in game 82 of this season, going out there with Imani Bates, Eastern Michigan's finest, Pete Nance, and the rest of that lineup that they ran in the second half of the last game of the year, tanking to get this playoff matchup, cannot be rewarded.
It
can't.
If you have hate in your heart, let it out.
I got it. It cannot be rewarded. And for them to lose in a game 7, after that yellow-bellied cowardice in game 82, after a 2-0 lead, Sunday will be good for Martin.
Man, hey, today is Sunday. We're supposed to be, like, chill and give grace and be grateful just for a game 7 playoff basketball, a great matchup. But you went the hate route, huh? You went the hate route early in the morning, early on the Sunday. It's crazy because, again, the Orlando team is – younger, more talented, and all the things. But I just thought with this being their first playoff appearance,
right,
there would be some nerves, which it was, you know, in the first couple of games. They gained their footing back in Orlando, playing well, got confidence, and they got the best player in this series in Paolo Banchero. So, again, I actually, now that it's at game 7, I think the confidence is high. I think the Magic win today. So I think you will be happy at the end of the day that Cleveland did tank because now they got the matchup and they got what they deserve. So is that better?
Just to be clear,
okay.
Had Cleveland not tanked,
okay,
and not been these yellow-bellied cowards in game 82, I wouldn't feel this way.
Oh, okay.
I hate it. I can't stand it when teams just chalk up losses. It drives me nuts. What am I here for? I want to see if you're not trying, why am I trying? Why am I watching?
I can respect that. But again, you want to do what's best for your team. You want to give yourself the best situation to go in and win a series and advance. And they thought this would be their easy way out, and it was not their easy way out. And isn't that life, though? We like to think that we're taking the easy way out, and it always seems to be some pitfalls and roadblocks that happen along the way. And this is another one for Cleveland.
Were you in that position in your career ever where it's like, hey, guys, we're going to not – you bench some guys. It's hard to bench in the NFL. There's not enough people to truly bench like you can in the NBA. But in your career, which spanned many years, very successful.
Thank you, sir.
Were you ever in a position where the team was like, all right, guys, we're going to lay it down here because we want to have this more, quote-unquote, advantageous matchup in the postseason?
Ooh, in my career.
And I don't mean you already got the one seed locked up.
Okay.
I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about resting to avoid injury.
Gotcha.
I'm talking about resting to avoid opponents.
Absolutely not.
See?
We're not ducking any smoke is what the young people say, right? They say that now?
Yeah.
We're not ducking any smoke. And that's what, you know. And anyway, if you went into a matchup in the NFL thinking that you're going to have a favorable matchup in the playoffs, it's lunacy, is what I'd say. Because everybody's going to come out and compete.
This Orlando Magic team as well is a team, they are like, it's like they have an attitude about them.
Yes.
That I really appreciate. And it's like the whole team is made up of Anthony Edwards.
Yeah,
of the I'm better than you. I want to be better than you. I'm raising the roof in Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse in Cleveland.
Yeah.
I was like, no. Put my hand up to my ear. Make those boos a little louder.
Right.
Like I you know what? They don't have the offense to make a major run.
Yeah.
They're going to need to add some pieces.
Absolutely.
Like, well, no matter what happens today, I think that this team will get summarily dismissed in the next round.
Yes.
Which is part of the reason why Cleveland is a bunch of cowards, because you're just delaying the inevitable.
Right.
You know, like you might as well just play them in the first round. Why not? You know what I'm saying? You don't want to play them. I mean, wouldn't you rather have played the Bucks? Anyway.
Yeah.
Let me get off the – let me stop. All right. So – they have an attitude about them, and you can see it, like, and especially, like, I don't want to say it starts with Mo Wagner, but he, to me, is the epitome of it. And maybe it's just because I went to Michigan and I've seen a lot of his career.
That's true.
So he pops up initially. Mm-hmm. But, like, they don't take no junk.
None of them. It may start with him, but I would say the other fire starter in that lineup is Jalen Suggs as well.
True.
And he's a dog. And those guys get after it, man. They compete really hard. But I think we have to give credit to their head coach, Jamal Mosley.
Coach of the year.
I saw him up close and personal. He was an assistant in Dallas. You know who I'm a big Dallas. I'm a Maverick fan. So
Sure. Seeing
him up close and personal, all those guys loved him. He's a defensive minded guy. Hence why Orlando gets after it defensively and they compete. And then you have an alpha in Paolo, and you have another alpha in Franz who. It's really good as well. I mean, he's an all-star caliber player as well. So they have talent. They need some more shooting around them, like you said, some more scoring. But, hey, the future looks bright in Orlando.
I absolutely think so. Now, on the Cleveland side of things, I think this is going to be ultimately a move. And, I don't like to sit here and call for people's jobs. You know, I'm sure there's people calling for mine right now, like, get this jerk off the radio. But I think this is a move where if Cleveland loses this series, especially after going up 2-0, this is a coaching change type game. This is an organizational shift game.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't win this game, because then all of that, they said that was the plan going into game 82, but it was evident to me that at halftime they changed, they were like, no, we're going to get all of our G League two-way guys up and have them close the game out. That would obviously backfire tremendously if they lose today.
Mm-hmm.
I think that if Cleveland loses at the crib, mind you,
mm-hmm.
at home in this game seven in the first round, that we'll see in some split. Either Garland is gone, Mitchell is gone, Bickerstaff is gone, some combination of all three.
Yeah, I think the inevitable there in that situation is Mitchell being gone. And it's just because of fit. Garland was an all-star player before, you know, Mitchell got there. Garland needs the ball in his hands. He's a rhythm guy. He likes to get other people involved that way. Mitchell actually, you know, handles the ball even more than Garland does during games. And Mitchell's,
especially down the stretch.
Yeah, and Mitchell's not looking to get anybody involved. He's looking to score. He's a scorer. And so I think one of them has to be gone, and I think it would be Mitchell. Mitchell's probably looking for a bigger marketplace to go play in, knowing him. And so I think Bickerstaff will actually be – I think he'll be okay. I think his job is safe right now, but I think it is a combination of one of those guys being gone, and I think it's Mitchell.
Well, either way, I don't think the Cleveland Cavaliers have the competitive spirit and fight for this game seven.
This will be 2 years in a row out in the first round.
See you later.
Yeah, that's it.
Because both times, I mean, like the Magic, they had to quit practicing the way they were practicing because guys were getting hurt. Excuse me.
Bless you, bless you, bless you.
One more. There we go.
Yeah, there's this out.
All right. So, no, the Magic had to cut the way they were practicing because it got too physical.
Mm-hmm.
They were talking too much trash. It was like, yo, we're supposed to be teammates today. We're supposed to like each other. You all right? They said that when they go through their 5-on-5 sessions, it's like they're playing in a real game. And Jalen Suggs said, he's like, this is all we know, right? This is all – because they are a young team overwhelmingly, save for Joe Ingles, who apparently got a lot of the credit for instilling this chippy nature into this team. But this team is definitely chippy. They want to dunk on you and talk about it.
You have a lot of people competing for minutes, right? They're all like – all like body types that play in certain positions, and they all can play. So just True. Think about the guard position, right? You have Markelle Fultz, you have Gary Harris, you have Jalen Suggs. You have all these guys that play similar positions, similar body types that can get after it. I mean, they all seem like the same type of player. Front court, you have Franz Wagner, you have Mo Wagner, you have the big
Wendell Carter.
Wendell Carter. You have the other guy, Isaacs. What's his first name?
No,
it's
Jonathan.
It is Jonathan, right? Yeah. So all body types, right? They all can play, and they all actually are similar in their play style. So, of course, it's going to be competitive. They're competing for minutes. They love each other as teammates, but they also want to play, too. So that makes for a fun environment, man.
I saw – what was I about to say? What are you talking about? Like, if when you watch that game six, Donovan Mitchell down the stretch
mm-hmm. –
it was either he was shooting it or turning the ball over.
Yeah.
And I just think when you look at Orlando, neither one of these teams have good offenses.
Yeah.
Right? This, like, they keep saying it's a throwback to the 90s. That was really because they had great defenses back in the day, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the defensive rules allowed you to do other things. Now, these guys are just missing shots to me. Like, this is missing shots. Like, this is a definition of a rock fight.
Right.
But Orlando, I think, is more together and plays more together, evidenced by the way that they play defense.
Mm-hmm.
And to your point about similar body types, last game, it was ESPN had a funny stat up because they said in NBA history and then they said last 50 years. So that would not be all of NBA history.
Right.
But it was the Magic, one of the first teams in the last 50 years to start a starting lineup where four of the five starters are over 6'10".
Yes. They are vertically one of the tallest teams that play in the NBA, but they also can move. They're also athletic. They're also agile. And so they can switch everything. You can't really get an advantage on the court at any time with them. And again, once they add a shooter in that mix that can consistently knock it down, they're going to be scary.
They will be. Coming up next, maybe this guy might be an option. A franchise cornerstone in the NBA apparently
Uh-oh.
Could be on the move. Martin Weiss, Kerry Rhodes, Fox Sports Sunday.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Hey, this is Tom Verducci from Fox Sports, MLB Network, and Sports Illustrated.
And I'm Joe Madden, and we're going to be around to talk a little bit about managerial decisions and what may have occurred in the dugout, maybe in the 1980s.
It's the Book of Joe podcast. I can't wait for this, Joe. We're going to dive into what goes on in the dugout and behind the scenes in Major League Baseball.
Cars, wine, whatever else we want to talk about.
Yeah, well, there are no boundaries, right? Listen to the Book of Joe podcast on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Is Fox Sports Radio taking a side here?
We're just opening a conversation.
We're starting a dialogue.
You're starting a little dialogue.
This is one of the Kendrick Lamar diss, one of the eight diss tracks. You know, Kerry.
No, this is some earlier stuff with Dre, I think.
Either way. I'll be 35 this year. I feel like I shouldn't be feeling this far behind when it comes to issues of pop culture.
As someone who's going to be 38 in September, it's only going to get worse.
I know, but part of it is they're not doing me no favors. How are we dropping? How are we dropping back to back diss tracks?
He's pumping them out too. Like Drake got like 2 seconds with his before Kendrick's like, here's another one.
But you make music.
Has it ever been a time that an artist released multiple diss tracks and put it out as an album?
I don't know. Maybe. You the musician,
Chris,
here.
The diss album?
Diss album.
I don't even think Eminem did that.
That's what I'm saying. This is historic stuff going on. That's what I'm trying to say. It does not happen often.
I'm saying. Well, you know what does happen often? A new diss track comes out. Right now. I mean, these guys are in like game 7, but it's just like it all happened and it felt like it was, you know, 2 weeks ago. I thought they were friends. I thought it was all well and good.
Is anybody winning? Who's winning the battle?
I think right now Kendrick is winning.
He's opened up a 20-point lead very early.
From what I can tell from the people who discuss this on my timeline, you know, we'll talk about the Phoenix Suns in just a minute, I promise.
Yep.
Somebody asked me about like my opinion on this. And Kerry, you know you had the Apple Wrapped or Spotify Wrapped at the end of the year?
Mm-hmm.
When mine came out at the start of 2024 for the year 2023, my biggest takeaway was that I need to cancel this service. I'm not using it enough.
You don't listen to music.
Last year, this is no joke, and I have the screenshot to prove it because I said people won't believe me. I listened to 32 minutes of music last year on my phone.
Oh.
32 minutes. And of the 32 minutes, 28 of them were Frank Sinatra.
What?
So I'm bouncing back with some Frank.
All right. So you
open another door for me.
You're spreading the news, huh? That's all you listening to?
Leaving today.
Ilo lights up lights up his iPhone camera away side to side.
New York. I got
Frank Sinatra, just for my money, top 5 American entertainers of all time.
Why?
Hey, listen, you did it your way.
Why? I want to know why. I'm not saying he isn't. I just said why.
I mean, the man could sing. The man could dance. The man could act. The man invented the Vegas residency. What are we talking about?
Well, I'm going to tell you why. Because the crazy part about artists at that time was that their performances, their execution of the actual art of singing wasn't actually like correct singing. So about like Frank Sinatra, right? A lot of times when he recorded out of key, flat, different times, right? But such a great performer. So I'm not taking anything away from that, but just the actual art of singing, he wasn't one of the best. But what he gave you was a feeling, and I think that's the beautiful thing about music, which is why I'm so upset with you, because if you only listen to 32 hours?
No.
32 minutes
there you
of music, you're doing yourself a disservice, is what I'm trying to get to. Because there's so much good art out there that to consume musically. Shame on you, Martin.
I want to defend against this a little bit on your behalf, Martin, because I feel like on Frank, you're talking about him breaking all these rules. Yeah. But as someone who, like, I did a few years of my undergrad, like, studying classical music, and that's all rules. That's all this stuff. But, like, I think that's kind of the beauty of Sinatra is that sometimes the best art is, you know, the rules of art, you know, the ideas of design. But when you're willfully breaking them, that's when some great art can be made.
Oh, 1,000%. I agree with that, Chris.
I mean, if I say, I ain't got no money,
uh-huh.
I didn't necessarily say it in the King's English, but everybody knows what I'm saying. Who gives a damn about the rules? Now, what people do care about is the salary cap.
That is right.
This is something that matters. The Phoenix Suns are locked up like Akon right now. They got between Booker, Kevin Durant, and Bradley Beal. Right there, that's $151 million.
Mm-hmm.
You add in Nurkic. That's $18.1 million on top of that.
Mm.
Then you add in, so that's just, you know, for those keeping track at home, $169.2 million over four players. Kerry, the problem is you got to play five at one time.
Yep.
And then you got to have a bench. That's the issue here.
Yeah.
Then you factor in, somehow they opened up the couch cushions and found $70 million to extend Grayson Allen.
Yes, they did.
And just got mollywopped in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
Rick Bucher, friend of the station.
I know Rick, yeah.
He said he spoke with two NBA executives and said it's unclear whether Devin Booker wants to remain in Phoenix.
Mm.
Another executive highlighted the San Antonio Spurs and the Oklahoma City Thunder as potential trade partners. Kerry Rhodes, put your GM hat on.
Yep.
Pretend you're James Jones. Do you move Devin Booker?
I do not move Devin Booker. I think he is and he should be the focal point of everything that the Suns do with the organization, right? He should be the mainstay, and he has been the mainstay. It was a time when it was lean times in Phoenix.
Oh, yeah.
They got past that.
Devin Booker and Tyler Ulis backcourt?
Exactly. They built a core there with Devin Booker, Chris Paul, DeAndre Ayton. Things look good. They make the finals, and you're like, oh, this team's going to be around for a while. Egos come into play. Players want bigger roles. Next thing you know, Chris is gone. He's older. He can't really stay healthy. They get him out. DeAndre Ayton wanted to be more involved. They said, no, you get out. But instead of keeping him and moving Monty Williams, they get rid of both of them. And so now you're set back. But the mainstay there, and the guy that is one of the purest scorers in this game, is still there in Devin Booker. You bring in Kevin Durant, which you think will help, and it did a little bit, which would have been cool if it was just those two. I think that where James Jones made the mistake, is going for the home run with Bill. Bill's not a great compliment for those guys. They needed a true point guard. They messed up. At the end of the day, in a bad situation, but you do not move Booker. I think you can try to move Bill or Durant, but not Booker.
Part of the issue is Bradley Beal has a no trade clause.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got to accept whatever deal he goes to, which obviously severely limits his ability to negotiate, right? It's our Phoenix's ability to negotiate.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Durant is my age. And it's not the same player he was post-Achilles.
Right.
Which is not an insult or anything slight, really. It's just an honest fact.
Yeah.
You see it. I mean, 5 years ago, the idea that Rudy Gobert, Carl Anthony Towns could stay in front of Kevin Durant for four games would have been lunacy, madness, insanity. Yep. No one would ever say that.
Right.
Not even me. I think you got to consider it. Because right now, that's the best bargaining chip that you got to try to get out of this ditch that the Suns are in. Because this team is not going anywhere.
No, no, no.
This team has a second-round ceiling.
Yeah, I agree.
They might mess around and get lucky and win a game or two, but very much like some of the other teams at the near the bottom of the West, this team was almost could have been a play-in team.
Yeah, this team barely got in that spot up there in the sixth spot, and they were a big disappointment. Obviously, when you get names like that, people want that immediate success. Doesn't happen that way anyway. But if you think about the longevity of this team, Bradley Beal can't stay healthy, so you can't depend on him being there for the whole year. KD is older; he's going to be injured some in and out the lineup. And even this year, Booker was injured, and so you didn't have a big sample size of what this team can do. But I do know with that core and the players that they have on that roster on the later end of that roster, the bench, they're just not good enough, and they're going to have to trade to get some depth. And like you said, KD would probably be the one that would be the easiest opportunity to get better with that team.
Well, let's take an opportunity right now to get better right now. We improve this show. Ilo was pulling his ears, lighting up his phone. I think he's got some beef with you, Kerry Rhodes.
With me?
Let me tell you something, baby. Oh, I certainly had my martini this morning. Fellas, I wish I could talk trash about Frank Sinatra and defending his honor, but we actually have some breaking news. Multiple outlets just reporting Cleveland's Jared Allen will not play today in Game 7 against the Orlando Magic because of a right rib contusion. Isaac Okoro will start in his place. Tip-off of Game 7 in Cleveland at the top of the hour between the Cavaliers and Magic. And again, Cleveland's Jared Allen, multiple outlets just reporting he will not play in Game 7 because of a right rib contusion. A short time ago, the Dallas Mavericks announced that Maxi Kleba will be out at least 3 weeks after suffering a separated shoulder joint in Game 6 of the opening round on Friday. The Mavericks open the Western Conference semifinals on Tuesday at Oklahoma City. In Game 1 of the other Western Conference semifinal on Saturday night, the Minnesota Timberwolves won at Denver 106-99. Anthony Edwards, a playoff career high 43 points. Edwards, so good, he is actually causing marital turmoil. After Game 1, some guy named Nate tweeted, and I quote, "Anthony Edwards is making me feel things no one ever has," unquote. Well, a woman named Tyra replied to that tweet, quote, "Oh, parentheses, this is my husband," unquote. Finally, in the Stanley Cup playoffs on Saturday night, the Boston Bruins won Game 7 of their opening round series over the Toronto Maple Leafs in overtime 2-1. Boston's David Pastrnak scored the series winner 1:54 into OT. I played OT once at the Sands. Back to you guys.
All right.
Dean, get away from that cocktail waitress, Dean.
Martin Weiss, Kerry Rhodes coming to you live from the TireRack.com studios. Thank you, Isaac, for that update. Hey, you know what? I don't wish injury on no man. I'm not saying that I'm happy that Jared Allen is out, but all I'm saying is, Cleveland, this is what you get. This is what you get. This is karma coming back. This is karma coming back. I wish Jared Allen a healthy and speedy recovery. I hope he gets well soon. But let's talk about the man breaking up houses, according to Isaac Lohenkron, real quick.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, Kerry, trivia question.
Trivia.
From the TireRack.com trivia studios.
All right.
Anthony Edwards had 40 points last night.
Mm-hmm.
He had 40 points the last time they played in a playoff game. Back-to-back 40-point games, under 22. Anthony Edwards is the first to do it since whom?
Kobe Bryant.
There you go.
Yeah, yeah. I'm well-equipped for this trivia game.
That's all I got.
Oh, okay.
No, I didn't have too many other ones. But I do want to spend some time talking about that because just very much like Isaac said that the guy was tweeting and made me feel things. I was at dinner last night, and my girlfriend was like, who won the game? And I was like, you know, Minnesota by 7. And she said, how? And I just pulled my phone up to show 3 minutes of Anthony Edwards highlights. Mm. And to be clear, I pulled up the game highlights, and it was just Anthony Edwards pretty much dominating the Denver Nuggets. What was your takeaway from last night when you were watching that game?
Well, the main takeaway from that game was I picked Minnesota to win game one only because of the emotional carryover from, you know, that Lakers Nuggets series. Watching them play that series, it looked like the Nuggets were tired, and so, you know, Minnesota had a little bit more rest. That whole adage of rest versus, you know, continuing to play and getting continuity is a topic we talk about a lot.
Rest
in sports.
Versus rust.
Yeah,
you know you're leaning in for a good rest versus rust debate around week 15.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But I had Minnesota coming out to actually win game one, so I wasn't surprised there. I was surprised at how dominant Anthony Edwards was, and not because he couldn't do it, but again, it's only happened once, right, for somebody to come out and put up 40 points in consecutive games. So, you know, I was surprised at that. But, yeah, it's going to be a tough series. And I think, you know, this is going to go 6-7 games, and I still don't know if Minnesota can pull it out. But I won't be surprised if they do either.
I picked Minnesota in this series because I don't think anybody can guard Anthony Edwards on the Denver Nuggets. Mm-hmm. I think Aaron Gordon's too slow. Mm-hmm. KCP is too small.
Yeah.
They don't have, like, the Nuggets match up perfectly against the Lakers. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like when you look at I think that's a big part of the reason why Lakers have had a lot of postseason struggles, because Lakers are not a complete team, right? They have holes, and the holes that they have, Denver is uniquely fitted to exploit them. Mm-hmm. The thing between Denver and Minnesota. Tim Connelly was the guy that drafted Jokic, the GM of the Denver Nuggets at the time. He kind of built that roster. That roster is primarily homegrown, right? Through the draft. I mean, drafted Murray, they drafted Porter, they drafted Jokic.
Right.
And I know they signed KCP, but it wasn't like KCP was a top of the line signing. They got Aaron Gordon, but he also wasn't a top of the line signing at the time, because he had proven that, you know, he wasn't going to be a number one guy.
Yeah.
And he's like, this is going to be a guy that, you know, rebounds and passes and plays defense. That's where he's better suited, and he's been playing some of the best ball of his career.
Yeah.
So Tim Connelly, also the guy, traded 4 first round picks for Rudy Gobert, which you may remember last that offseason that happened. Mm-hmm. The rest of the NBA was like, now what? Now we're supposed to know. You've traded 4 first round picks for Rudy Gobert.
Right.
Now what am I supposed to do? I can't trade Kevin Durant now. You know, they're going to want 8 first round picks.
Yeah.
Right? Traded 4 first round picks for Gobert, drafted Naz Reid, and obviously didn't draft Cat, but, you know, like, built the roster between Naz Reid, Karl Anthony Towns, and Gobert. They, to me, are uniquely suited to bang with Jokic.
Oh, for sure.
And if Jamal Murray continues to play as he has been playing this postseason, which, save 2 amazing fourth quarters, mm-hmm. has not been up to the standard we are used to seeing from Jamal Murray, mm-hmm. who is a proven primetime playoff performer.
Yes.
He's a 4P guy.
Yes.
You like that? You like that? 4P guy. 4P guy.
All right. Yeah, yeah.
And we've seen it since the bubble. Jamal Murray taking and making just tough shot after tough shot after tough shot after tough shot.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this year in the postseason, he's been missing a lot of those. He just iced 2 to end the game.
Right.
Which, I know that feels like I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth a little bit, but the reality is those games were close, and the Lakers are not a good team. Do you see what I'm saying?
Well, the Lakers are a good team.
They're not a great team.
There you go. Okay.
They're not a great team. They're not, as much as we want to spin it and say it, they weren't truly, in my opinion,
sure.
championship contenders.
I agree. Yeah.
They were middle of the road, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. They were in the freaking play-in tournament. You know? So yeah. It's like, by definition,
yes.
They were average.
Yeah.
Right? And those games came down to the wire, like you said, emotionally spent.
Yes.
You know, the other team that was in the near the play-in tournament, we just talked about it, the Phoenix Suns.
Yep.
Summarily dismissed by the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Out of there.
I mean, Coach tore his patellar tendon, and everybody was like, "Oh, no big deal." You know, it was like there was I don't think there was not a doubt in any of those four games. Besides, if you're in the owner's box in Phoenix with Matt Ishbia, because he thinks they're a player or two away from winning a championship.
Yeah,
mind you, Matt, you got to win 16 postseason games, not no postseason games, to be able to win to try to win a title.
Right.
But when I just think that Minnesota is the deeper team, and the only reason I would pick Denver is because of the experience,
right,
and because of Jokic,
right.
Minnesota got 3 7-footers.
They do, and in the history of those matchups between those other 7-footers, Jokic owns them all.
Well, Jokic owns everyone.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. So yes, they can bang. They're going to make it really, life difficult for Jokic and the Nuggets. But we say that, and Jokic still had 30-something last night, right? So it's not about that part of it. It's going to be if Jokic has enough down the stretch in a long, long series to continue doing this. Now, that will be the question in my eyes. But again, Denver has the experience. They have enough to get it done, obviously. Murray is a little injured, which we can tell. He's not moving the same way.
That is true.
But they have scores. They have Michael Porter Jr. who can go off at any night. And I'm not counting them out yet with one loss. I just figured Minnesota would come in and have more energy and win game one. And it showed that way, the way they jumped out. It jumped out to an early lead, 14-4. Denver made a run, which they always do, got back in the game. Third quarter was the story, though, when Cat came out, took over. And then, you also add that six-man element with Naz Reid in the fourth quarter where he had 14. So Minnesota's deeper, for sure.
And I think it really matters because Karl-Anthony Towns, for all of his talents, will do some of the dumbest things you can see on a basketball
all
court.
All the time.
And then be like, what do you mean that's a foul?
Right.
What are you talking about?
Yep.
How you get a foul? Like, he got a foul, Vicari, at the very first immediate opportunity to pick up a foul.
Mm-hmm. I know. I said this on my couch watching the game. I was like, this is why they won't win. Karl-Anthony Towns, what you just said, so skilled, such a good player, but does dumb stuff. Like, he literally came in when he had the four fouls, fouls somebody when they're laying the ball in the bucket. I'm like, why? Just let him lay it in. It's the craziest thing, man.
It's like Anthony Edwards said to Cat, stop effing fouling, man.
Right.
Stop it. Coming up next, Kerry, I'll tell you what, I don't know why, but it seems like every time we do these shows together, these old geezers want to get back in the arena. I don't understand it. Maybe you can shed some insight. Martin Weiss, Kerry Rhodes, Fox Sports Sunday.
We don't appreciate your jokes, old man.
Yeah, yeah.
What is this attitude, Kerry Rhodes?
I'm about to tell you right now. Guess what? Started spreading the news. Yeah.
Oh, man, once you can make a brand new startup
today.
Come on, Martin. Join in. This is the only song you know.
Play a part of it. New York. New York.
Martin Weiss, Kerry Rhodes, Fox Sports Radio. J.J. Watt is going to be in New York, I imagine. He's on the CBS pregame show.
Is he? Okay.
Unless D'Amico Ryans calls. J.J. said at his charity softball game on Saturday, quote, I've had a great 12 years in this league, and I'm very thankful to have walked away healthy and playing great. There's more.
Uh-oh.
I told D'Amico last year, don't call unless you absolutely need it, but if you ever do call, I'll be there. He knows not to call unless he absolutely needs it. And this is the last year I'll tell him that, because I'm not going to keep training the way I've been training, but he knows if he ever truly does need it, I'll be there for him. I don't anticipate that happening. They have a very good group.
Oh, my God.
Now, Kerry, you were in the studio yesterday with no shirt on.
No shirt on.
All right, a cutoff.
Oh, okay.
A cutoff, all right?
Yeah.
A cutoff. And your co-host was Monsi Bolaños.
Yes, the great.
Who's an amazing person, but diminutive in stature. She's very short.
Yeah.
And your biceps were about the size of Monsi. Who needs to – I said Kerry Rhodes' biceps were about like your height. That's that's where I was going. Yes. Monsi looked over here with the she was like, hold on, pal.
Don't say my name.
Yeah, no, that's what I was saying. I was like, my man came in to work yesterday, no clothes on.
Oh, my
God. No shirt on. I was like,
See,
so I got to ask, Monsi, are you training the way that J.J. Watt is training?
Absolutely not.
Are you going to be ready if you get a call?
No. Those days are long gone, buddy. No, I trained for, you know, the aesthetic to look, you know, to look a certain way and to feel a certain way, to feel healthy. I am not trying to go out there and do anything on a football field ever again.
What is this phenomenon? Like, J.J. Watt, like, the legacy is made.
Yes.
Right? All you do if you go and play is you're resetting your five-year clock for Canton this point.
That's all it is.
What is this phenomenon? Can you explain this to me? Because if I'm J.J. Watt, mm-hmm. I want nothing to do with this.
Man, you know what, man? It's been our identity for so long. So once it's over, a lot of guys have this struggle process of going on to phase two of their lives, right? And so I do understand that. And he is still not too far removed, so I could see the itch. I mean, my first year, once I got done, I was literally – there was a moment where I was really depressed, and I literally would not watch the game.
Yeah.
So I get that. But, J.J., leave it alone, man. It's a young guy's game. Let those guys eat. They're going to be fine without you. And yeah, it's time to move on. It's what I'd say.
I do have to say this.
Yeah,
we did a show. What was this? I mean, 3 weeks ago, four weeks ago. This same slot.
Yeah, same time.
And you came in. You had your little iced coffee,
mm-hmm.
and you had a brown box of fruit. Right, like a brown paper box, of assorted fruit, apples, oranges, so on.
Yeah.
Fed fruit for breakfast every day since. I have.
See? Positive influence. You see what I'm saying? Let's help each other out, man.
I was just like, damn, it's like if Kerry Rhodes is eating fruit at his age, what am I doing eating, you know, burritos for breakfast? I should probably switch this up because I am moving very quickly to dad bods. And I don't have any kids.
Oof. Yes. So just a bod. It's not. What would it be if it's not a dad bod? Yeah, you don't have any kids. What would that bod represent?
I don't know, Kerry. I think they might just call it fat.
Just fat. See, I didn't want to say it. I was going to let you say it though.
They might just call it fat.
Put words in your mouth, Martin.
Because I'm not. I am not training like J.J. Watt is training. I'm not ready to go back.
And why would you? Think about that. The stress that it causes for your body, man, at that age, it's just stop doing the heavy squats and cleans and just, you know, feel good.
Yeah, I feel that.
Good. No, yeah.
I don't get it. I don't get it. Especially when, you know, you were, I mean,
you've done it.
What had a good last season.
Yeah.
But it's a far cry from like when he was arguably one of the best players in the league, like could have been the best player in the league at a certain, you know, if you take out like the whole kind of quote unquote like quarterbacks the most important, so on and so forth.
Sure.
But I mean, defensive player of the year, he set a standard. That's what I don't get. You set a standard for yourself, right?
Yep.
Then you can no longer meet that standard. And I don't understand why guys are still trying to go out there and play. Like LeBron said, he'd never come off the bench. Like, he would retire before he comes off the bench. Like that. And he didn't say that. That's not a direct quote. But that energy behind it. I understand that.
Yes.
I really get that. Like, I don't think there's anything wrong with it. But I just understand, like, especially if you're still healthy. But I don't understand why you would want to go back and play football after you've retired and moved on with your life.
Yeah, it's levels to it. And you're right. I mean, if you've been the top of the top, you don't want to be that guy that we remember Michael Jordan with the Wizards, and it was not pretty.
Speaking of Michael Jordan with the Wizards, let's kick back to around that time. We had a Knicks-Pacers game in the playoffs?
It's on.
Is it the 90s?
It is 90s.
That's right, and we're broadcasting live from the TireRack.com studios. TireRack.com will help you get there with an unmatched selection, fast free shipping, free road hazard protection, and over 10,000 recommended installers. TireRack.com. It's the way that tire buying should be. Kerry, it's a throwback series.
Mm-hmm.
The Knicks and the Pacers. This is the basketball I grew up on. Seriously, I remember watching these
Patrick Ewing, John Starks, Reggie Miller, Mark Jackson, Jalen Rose.
You know it. Travis Best.
Rick Schmitz.
There you go.
The Davis brothers.
Antoine and Dale.
Yes. Yeah, I was like, well, yeah. Travis Best.
I had his rookie card.
Those were great times.
Yeah, it didn't turn out to be worth much.
He was a baller in college, though.
All due respect to
Georgia Tech,
Tech,
right?
Yeah. Yep. So we have the new addition. I thought the last time these two teams were playing in the playoffs, new addition was popular. Aha!
And Bobby Brown. Yeah, I, was, I heard that. I caught that right away, too. Yeah.
But this new addition of the Knicks and the Pacers is what I'm really looking forward to, mm-hmm. in part because it's kind of, you know, they say styles make fights.
Yeah.
Right? And as we sit here, as Cleveland and Orlando's about to tip off, these are two teams that offensively challenged, I'll say.
Mm-hmm.
This matchup, the Knicks and the Pacers, is taking a team that, to me, is one of the best defensive teams in the NBA,
mm-hmm.
against one of the best offensive teams in the NBA.
Yes.
And we will see which philosophy. It's a battle of philosophy almost, battle of style.
Mm-hmm.
Who is going, because Cleveland and Orlando, they kind of want to win the same way.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
With the Knicks, how they want to win and how Indiana wants to win, mm-hmm. are completely separate.
Yes.
Indiana wants to get up and down, pace his pace, shoot a bunch of threes, get it up. The Knicks are, Jalen, you're the engine that drives this car. Uh-huh. You're going to make everything happen for us. And then from there, we will get other people involved.
Right.
I'm very excited for this series. Where are you at with this matchup?
Yeah, I'm excited for this series as well. I think New York has really found a way to win consistently with putting trust in Jalen, letting him run the show. And those other guys, the Villanova three that they talk about a lot right now, they have great chemistry, obviously, and they all contribute in different ways. I mean, you have Dante DiVincenzo, who's a scorer, who can put up points, can get really hot. And you have Josh Hart, who does it all, rebounds the ball like a forward, like a center, can make timely threes. You have Hartenstein that plays. You look at him, you don't think he's going to be a factor in the game, but he is.
My boy Hartenstein did not. It felt like he couldn't miss.
Yeah, that little floater that he shoots.
That little floater, just
push shot,
flick it up at the rim. It felt like he couldn't miss. Now, maybe that's more of an indictment on the people who was guarding him, Joel Embiid. But anyway.
Yep. But I say that to say they are a really good team, and they do it collectively outside of Jalen. I'm excited to see them. But with the Pacers, Rick Carlisle is an offensive machine. He knows how to get those guys in the best, you know, possible position to succeed. They like to run up and down. It's going to be a great series, man. I'm going to lean towards the Knicks winning this series, but the Pacers, if they have a hot series, they can win it as well. So I'm excited.
The thing about the Pacers for me, I did not think that they played well in the first round. They won the games often, obviously, 4-2. But I just was not impressed. To me, it felt like Milwaukee was losing these games. Like Milwaukee was just so undermanned, missing their two top scorers due to calf strains.
Right.
And, you know, just a quick moment of silence for the Cavs in the NBA.
Man.
Because, I mean, everybody's falling. I mean, everybody's having these calf issues.
Yeah.
But I was not impressed with the Indiana Pacers' output in that first series. And I think that if James Capers doesn't eject Bobby Portis in game, whatever, the game five, I believe, and call back-to-back technical fouls and with 4 minutes into the first quarter.
It was game four, yeah.
Yeah, I wonder how that goes. I wonder if that game changes because Bobby Portis is one of the better scorers on Milwaukee,
yeah,
especially when Giannis isn't playing.
Right.
For whatever reason, he's like, oh, okay, now I'll shoot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but he scores, like, this is on and off numbers when Giannis versus Bobby Portis, and when Giannis is on the court and off the court, Bobby Portis, all of his numbers go up. All of them.
Oh, yeah, he's a 20-10 guy when he's out.
So,
yeah,
with that, I just wonder, like, I'm picking the Knicks here in six.
Yeah.
And also, too, the Pacers, when they were at the peak of their powers earlier this season, Tyrese Halliburton was, you talking about 2010 guy for Bobby Portis. Tyrese Halliburton was like a 35-15 guy.
Yeah, that was my point too. Go ahead. Go finish.
No, I don't want to steal your point. You go ahead.
No. I'm just saying like that's the key. Which version of Halliburton are we getting? Are we just getting the steady point guard that can give you 17 and 10? That won't get it done. when you, like you just said, when they were at their powers and they went on that long winning streak, he was putting up astronomical numbers, right? And people were starting to say, oh, it's Tyrese Halliburton, the face of the NBA now. And that was the conversation for a week. So if he can get back to that, they have a chance to win this series. But he's going to have to score the ball for them to win.
Yeah, he's going to have to be. And I think we saw, really his first postseason action, we saw games in which he only took like 7 shots. I need more than that. I need 17 shots.
Got to be aggressive.
You know, I need you're the engine of this car. You got to put it down, pedal to the metal here, right, and really make things happen. So, yeah, I'm going here with.
So your prediction for this series, if you had, it's
Knicks and six.
Knicks and six.
Knicks and six.
Knicks and six.
There you go.
Okay.
All right. And I think Jalen Brunson had. He's another guy who doesn't have a championship, mm-hmm, but to me, it seems that every time he has been in a position to deliver, right, when it's been he's the guy, and it started back with Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert in Utah when Luka Doncic missed 2 games, mm-hmm, Mr. Dallas Maverick. Yep. I know you remember this.
Of course.
And Jalen Brunson had Rudy Gobert jumping and sliding all over the place.
In the spin cycle.
In a torture chamber.
Man, it was bad. And that was the coming out party for Jalen Brunson, right? I mean, I saw him and I knew he could play. He wasn't afforded those opportunities. You talked about the Giannis and Bobby Portis situation, right? He wasn't afforded the time to actually be the guy,
right,
and go make it happen. But in that series, man, it was something to see. And yes, Jalen's he's won on every level. He's won multiple championships in college.
Oh, tell me. I know, as a Michigan basketball fan, I remember.
Exactly. So I wouldn't put it past him to make a deep run here. And so, yeah, I think I'll take the Knicks in 7.
All right. Because I did think whoever won out of the Philadelphia-New York series, mm-hmm, was going to the conference finals.
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of stapled.
Yeah.
Right? And I still do. The Pacers to me feel like, and we'll talk about this team in the next segment, but the Pacers to me feel like the way the Thunder should feel. Like they feel like the young and inexperienced, mm-hmm, playoff team where they're kind of figuring out. Like how you lose, it was the first time in NBA history that a team was missing its top 2 scorers and won a postseason game. That, mm-hmm, has happened 14 other instances.
Mm-hmm.
It was the first time when Milwaukee was missing both Giannis and Dame.
Yeah.
And won that game.
Yeah.
And then you had Patrick Beverley sitting up there postgame. You know, it was like, yeah, you know, that's what happened. You know, when you get let guy, like, you're doing your interviews with Patrick Beverley and Bobby Portis,
right,
and AJ Green, not the receiver. You know?
Right. No, the Thunder, I mean, that Thunder, we'll talk about that in a few minutes. But, yeah, these young teams and these young players are starting to take over. There's a shift happening right now where we're ushering out the names that we're accustomed to seeing at this time of year, and we're inviting some new blood to the party. And so, yeah, it's exciting for me. I like to see that transition of the new blood coming in and actually carrying that torch. That's where we are right now.
Yeah, I actually am of the belief that that era ended a while ago. You know, they say the devil's greatest trick is convincing people he doesn't exist.
Mm. Yeah.
Steph Curry's greatest trick was making Andrew Wiggins a player we have not seen prior nor since in that championship run in 2022.
Yeah, man.
Because if it wasn't for that,
mm-hmm,
Andrew Wiggins all of a sudden becoming the second best player on the Warriors,
yeah, yeah,
for a momentary period of time,
uh-huh,
then we wouldn't be talking about we're seeing the shift now. We would be talking about how, wow, the last time one of these, you know, older players, not all the way old, but older players won a championship was the bubble.
Yeah. Yeah, the Lakers, yeah. Yeah, man, it's happened. It's happening. And again, we can't say that it passed by because, yeah, Steph Curry did what he did, right? Led that team to a finals appearance and winning. And obviously the whole conversation even surrounding that title was not what he did. It was what Boston didn't do, right?
Sure.
That was the conversation.
You end up with a Boston team,
yeah,
with a rookie head coach.
Mm-hmm.
First time in the finals.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that people don't talk about because I guess it's awkward and weird. But, like, Ime Udoka was fired shortly thereafter.
Mm-hmm.
And
I imagine that the things that he got him fired were occurring throughout the season.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
And the postseason.
Right.
And I just wonder,
was he prepared?
How much of a distraction that could have caused? Because we, you know, we heard about it all after the fact, obviously.
Of course.
But if you're doing all of this and that, I think that could cause some issues.
That could cause some issues. And, you know, for you to be ill-prepared to win a finals.
You know, why are you so tired? Oh, you know, I was busy last night.
Yeah, I had a late night. We had to prepare for something.
All right, coming up now. Oh, look at the game tipped off. About time. I hate how they'll say the game starts at the bottom of the or at the top of the hour, and then we got to wait 15 more minutes.
Oh yeah,
it drives me nuts. As the Gary Harris shoots a three and misses right now, it's nothing to nothing. The Magic and the Cavaliers as the game just got started. Monty Bolaños will be all over that at the bottom of the hour. We will keep you updated as well. But coming up next, let's see how fast and how long Kerry thinks the Mavericks will dispatch of the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Yeah.
All right. Martin Weiss, Kerry Rhodes, Fox Sports Sunday.
See, I'm giving him equal time here. Both sides.
Fair and balanced, Fox Sports Radio. we approach both sides of the beef. Kerry, is this how you dance in the studio whenever you're making your music? Y'all should go and follow Kerry Rhodes. What's your Instagram?
Instagram is just at Kerry Rhodes.
At Kerry Rhodes. Just see all types of interesting stuff. Rock climbing, single release.
Yes.
And I was listening to it. Yes, my girlfriend was like, what is that? I was like, I'm not telling you. I don't want you to find the page.
Kerry, the most interesting man in the world.
He's up there, him and Dos Equis, man.
Yeah, I was upset. I talked about Dos Equis, man, the other day. I was like, the last time that Dos Equis was interesting when they had the most interesting man in the world. So,
you know,
I just talked about that.
I've been thinking about this.
Yeah.
And we didn't prep this. Sorry.
All good.
You know, as the playoffs are going on right now, Orlando just went on a 9-0 run. Mm-hmm. They have a slight lead at the middle of the first quarter commercial break. I don't know what it is, but commercials today
mm-hmm.
are so much more annoying than they used to be.
They are.
And it's not because it's like I'm now used to watching things without commercials, right? Because I've always watched the games with commercials.
Mm-hmm.
So that's never changed. I don't know if there's lack of diversity of commercial. Like you just see the same commercial over and over and over again.
That's what it is.
And maybe that's what it is.
The Wingstop commercial.
Yeah.
I can't stand that anymore.
I can't stand any of them. I am boycotting the Google Pixel until the damn thing is over with.
And I'm thanking
we just
you
said that.
For knowing exactly what a pro
if you don't cut this off, we want people to listen to the show, Chris. Right now, half of America is yelling at their radio, like, turn this stuff off.
Martin, we just talked about this yesterday, me and Monsi. We had the four-hour show yesterday from 1 to 5, and we talked about the commercials being terrible, and the Google Pixel one irked us so much.
Did you hear it from us?
No,
oh my gosh,
Martin irked us so much.
I was like, nothing is real.
Take that pose. Shut the hell up.
No, you know,
I just did my USC capstone project on the wonderful Whopper 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 jingle.
Listen,
yeah. That was my capstone project.
I don't hate the jingle. I'm not going to lie to you guys.
Listen, the first one wasn't that bad. At BK, you
don't
rule.
Have like, it your way.
Yeah, I didn't hate it.
Did it make you go get a Whopper, though?
No, man.
Okay,
come
cool.
On.
Nothing's going to make you get BK like that.
Listen, maybe.
You go for the chicken sandwich, not the Whopper.
Okay.
I feel like every year with college football, we used to do this. There was always like a Nissan commercial or like an Allstate, like during the college football playoffs, that just gets, like during the bowl season, just sit there in my head. And I'm just like, please stop.
I never got mad when Mayhem happened in the Allstate career. Like it didn't like anger me.
No.
Like when I hear
different ones of those.
When I see Chet Nesty, when I saw that in the first round of March Madness, I was like, oh, I immediately hate this. It makes me want to not buy stuff. Like, cause I, you know what I'm saying? Like, the commercial, the whole point of commercial is trying to get you to buy it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, you make me want to say, no. In fact, if I see somebody with an AT&T Google Pixel phone, I want to kick them in the head. Like, I can't stand it.
You can't trust that person. Think about that. The Google Pixel phone is a lie, right? Like,
everything is a lie.
You're jumping up
2 inches off the ground, but you got a lot of vertical air now. It's just like everything about that is not true.
It's
well,
disturbing.
Don't worry. You can just remove the sky from your picture.
Right. That's what yeah, we were saying. Yeah, yeah. I was that like, too. Nothing is real. We were going to take a picture, put a waterfall behind us.
A boat. Noah's Ark.
Why not?
All the stuff. Yeah.
We're taking these Zoom backgrounds a step too far.
This is crazy. You guys watch sports entirely different than I do because I watch everything on my phone. So when it's commercials, I just minimize the window and just look at Twitter.
I
have no idea what you guys are talking about right now.
And that's what I love about streaming, right? In the streaming world where you pay for no ads, you don't have to see the ads. And I love that part of it.
That's not about streaming. I know exactly what that is. That is the sound
the other
of a man with a wife and a kid
that's
at
right.
home.
That's right.
That's what that is. I didn't know this phenomenon until I moved in with my girlfriend. All of a sudden, it became an issue that I had to watch the game. Like, man, it's my job. How am I supposed to? What am I supposed to do here?
I saw that Nuggets T-Wolves had started last night, and I'm like, well, I can't take Bluey off the TV, so I guess it's a phone
it
game.
It does finally put into perspective all of this talk about man caves, which I'm not sure. Growing up, didn't think at all about man caves, why you even needed those. And I think what Bo needs is a man cave.
Yeah, you do.
Listen, I'm moving into a new apartment, right? My sister's actually coming too, so we got a 3-bedroom. It was imperative that we got the 3-bed. I was like, No. Bump with all y'all talking about. I am building what I'm calling an office.
Yeah.
With air quotes in my office. Uh-huh. I had a 3-TV setup in my old apartment. It was lovely. I had a big, like a 57-inch on the top, 232s on the bottom. I could see everything. Mm-hmm. I didn't miss a thing. I was watching NBA in November. Why? Because it was on. Because I could. Now it's a 10-round boxing match to try to watch some of this, and it doesn't help when Chet and SGA are talking about what a pro wants. Because she's like, "Will you turn this crap off?" It doesn't, you know. Take that angle, post that. She hates it.
Oh
she hates
God.
It all. And you know what I have to say? So do I.
And the fact that you know every lyric
right.
to these is the crazy part.
Yes.
I only have one other contribution to make this conversation. I have a Pixel phone.
Oh, my God.
I knew it was something about this guy.
Yep.
Right.
I knew it.
So don't believe any of the pictures he posts.
You can't believe anything. Now, mm-mm. Chris, yeah, you were my guy.
How
now
did you post? Chris, where'd this 6-pack come from?
Right. Chris has been in the gym. Have you seen Chris lately?
He's just been giving what a pro wants on Google Pixel. That's all he's been doing.
Right.
Now, third-round pick Malachi Corley for the New York Jets. Moved into Aaron Rodgers' guest house.
Yeah.
Did you ever live with any of your teammates? Because I don't. What is it? I don't know if I want to live in Aaron Rodgers' guest house.
No, I did. So once I got traded from New York to Arizona, when I first got to Arizona, obviously there's a transition period of looking for my own place and all that deal. And the great Larry Fitzgerald was like, "Kerry, you got to come stay with me." And I stayed with him for that summer, the off season, getting ready for the season. And yeah, it was fun because Larry has a great house.
I was about to, like,
and so it was cool.
When somebody like Larry Fitzgerald says, "You got to come stay with me."
Yeah.
Do you have like your own wing of the house?
I have my own wing of the house. Yeah, that's why I felt pretty comfortable.
Is it just so big that you could just have somebody in your guest house and not even your life not be impacted?
100%.
Well, I guess if you have a guest house in the first place, sure. But I don't know if I want to live with Aaron Rodgers.
Why not?
I don't know. He's kind of, I don't know. I might come out having different opinions on, you know, can jet fuel melt steel beams?
Probably. But Martin, this is a rookie coming to the league, and Aaron Rodgers says, "Come stay at my house." You're gonna stay at his house.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do the lights work in there? You know, he's got his thing with darkness. You know, like, is that where he's gonna do his next darkness retreat?
Right. All these questions will be answered once you stay at the house.
What if there's a raid because they're coming down for the ayahuasca? Like, you know, like, you're just sitting there. Malachi Corley is just sitting there. Like, what's going on?
Like, I don't know what's going on here. No, I don't know, man. But it would be, like I said, as a rookie coming in, you're gonna be like pumped to stay with Aaron Rodgers for sure. He hasn't been. You know, hasn't been, I guess, infested with the world, the knowledge that we know.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers, YouTube University All-Star right there. Ooh, how about this? Look at this. A 13-0 run for the Magic in the last 4 minutes and 10 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, Vercari, sometimes the right things happen in the world.
Yeah.
Sometimes the right things happen.
You're getting what you want here. But I told you before the game started, Orlando was going to win this one. They're up by 10. Good start. We'll see how it plays out. But, yeah, I think the Cavs are done, man.
And, you know, let's go ahead and call it a wrap on this one and kick it over to Monsi Bolaños to get even more on this game and everything else that's going on. What's going on, Mons?
I mean, the Orlando Magic just proving me wrong, and I think a lot of people, especially after game one. Game one, they didn't look great.
Did you weren't here. So I was clamoring for this to happen.
Yeah.
Because Cleveland tanked.
Yes, they tanked on purpose.
They set this matchup up, and they said, no, Orlando, you're sweet.
Yes.
We want you.
Yeah.
Look how sweet it is.
And when you said that, revenge, yes. It's honestly, I remember I was working that game, and I was like, oh, they just sat everybody the fourth quarter. They wanted to lose. It was very obvious that they could have won. So I'm with you. But yeah, after game one, they didn't look great. Although I said to Carrie, I was like, they did look like they had grit, like they wanted to get better. Mm-hmm. And now here they are, a game. 7, Orlando up 20-10, 3 minutes to go in the first quarter. Paolo Banchero, a face of the NBA. He is going to be.
You said that.
Yes, he's going to be. He's so good. He's got 10 points. Donovan Mitchell, 6 points for Cleveland. They just scored, so now it's 20-12. But yeah, late in the first quarter, plenty of game left. There is another game 7 today on the ice, but it's way later today. It's from Dallas between the Stars and the Golden Knights. The puck is going to drop at 7:30 p.m. Eastern time. There's also a game 1 in the NHL between the Rangers and the Hurricanes. That starts at 4 p.m. Eastern time. There is a rain delay in baseball between the Blue Jays and the Nationals right now in Washington. Last night in baseball, the Dodgers beat the Braves 11-2. Max Muncy, a hat trick kind of night. Shohei Ohtani also homered, breaking his manager, Dave Roberts' record of the most home runs by a Japanese-born player in Dodgers history.
Yes.
And he may buy him a Porsche.
Dave Roberts was born in Japan?
Yes, his father was in the military.
Okay. All right. There we go. I'm like, huh?
Yeah, back to you guys.
You know what? I stepped on your joke. I'm sorry. He might buy him a Porsche as well.
He might. So there's like a joke going around. He gave him a toy Porsche. Remember that Joe Kelly's wife got a Porsche?
Yes.
So the media started this. They were like, are you going to get him a gift if you break his record? And then Dave Roberts was like, I need a car. So jokingly, he gave him a little Porsche. And now last night, they were like, is he going to get a real car? Like a real Porsche? And he's like, maybe.
Well, that's the thing. You know, Shohei got it. I mean, he got enough money. People stealing from him.
Come on, Martin.
Come on, Martin.
What did I do? I'm not the one who did it.
He didn't do it either.
He didn't either. That's the whole point.
I'm just saying, he got enough money where people can steal millions of dollars from him.
And he's chill.
Apparently, it's all good.
All
great. It's all good on that end. You know, let the feds handle it. Carrie, what would you do if your teammate bought your wife a car? Like, that's what happened. Kelly's wife a car.
Wasn't it in exchange for the jersey?
Right. It was a thank you for the campaign that she was giving Ohtani number 17, which was Kelly's number.
Yeah, and if it was
I understand all of that.
Yeah. If it was he didn't know his wife or anything like that, so I would probably say that was fine. But somebody buying my wife a car, no, I wouldn't like it either. I hear you. I wouldn't like it either.
Who gonna pay the insurance on this thing?
You better say it's and he better say it's a Porsche for both of us, not just my wife.
Because that's always my thought when you see December to Remember as we continue on with the commercial thing. Who paying the insurance on this? This got this big old bow.
Right.
Did you pay it off? Because now, thank you for a $600 bill every month.
No, I'm sure he paid it off, right?
I'm sure Shohei bought it outright. Yeah. But, I mean, you can't buy insurance outright. You know? State Farm, I like lifetime insurance, please. I don't think it works like that.
Yeah, no, just as a gift for my wife, a car would be a little absurd.
Yeah. Carrie, the Minnesota Timberwolves are the first team in the Western Conference since the 2017 Warriors to start out 5-0 in the postseason.
Yeah.
In case you're wondering, here's every other team in the Western Conference to do so since 1996. 2017 Warriors, 2016 Spurs, 2015 Warriors, 2013 Spurs. Are you noticing a trend here? 2012 Thunder, 2012 Spurs, 2008 Lakers, 2005 Suns, 2004 Spurs, 2001 Lakers, 1997 Jazz. Of those 11 teams, all of them but two made the conference finals.
Mm-hmm.
Of those 11 teams, 7 ended up winning the Western Conference. I got that from a Reddit post. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Carrie, Yep. Right now, if you were to look up, if you were to bet on the Minnesota Timberwolves to win the West, you would make a nice chunk of change.
Mm.
Probably 10 times your money.
Okay.
I got to look it up real quick. But up there, like, you know what I'm saying? Because Denver and Boston are the prohibitive favorites.
Yes.
And then coming down from there, you know, the odds, they fall certain places. What do you think the chances are, especially considering what we saw last night, that Minnesota can win the West?
Definitely higher than when the postseason started. I thought they were a team that could make it to this round, and that would be probably their ceiling. Right now, they can make it to the Western Conference Finals for sure. To win the West, I still don't think that's in the card for them this year. So, you know, if I was a betting man, which I'm not, so to speak, I would not take that bet. But I wouldn't be surprised if Minnesota could, you know, could make a run here. They're really good. I just don't think they'll get past this round. And then the next round, obviously, against my Mavericks either. So I just don't see that happening.
Oh, yeah, my Mavericks. My Mavericks.
That's right. You heard me. I did not stutter at all on that one. It's very clear. No. I'm a Dallas Maverick fan. Yeah.
I just, it's fascinating to me, this, the way this Minnesota team, I think they're perfectly built to bang with Denver, right? And I think, I'll say this. All right, let me ask you this. Would you think anybody else in the playoffs, especially just keep it on the West side,
yeah,
do you think anybody else alive can bang with Denver? Do you think your Mavericks could go into Denver and win one or two or three games on the way to winning a seven-game series?
Yeah. I don't think they can bang with Jokic. No. But I don't think anybody can. So even with the perfect scenario with Minnesota and having those big the three big guys that can bang with Denver, I don't think that's the only reason or variable that you will beat Denver. You know what I mean? So that with that question, it's a little skewed for me because of I don't
six
think
to one. I'm sorry, 6-1 for the Timberwolves right now.
Is it 6-1? 6-1 odds.
Yeah, 6-1. You bet 100, you get back 6.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's a bet that you could take if you wanted to corner the betting market and win some money there. Yes, but that still says it's still a pretty long odd to win come out the West. So yeah, I don't think Minnesota can get it done. And at the end of this whole series, it's going to be tough.
Well, we'll see. I just think that's interesting. I guess 5-0 is remarkable to me.
It is, for sure.
And especially for a team that's not the one seed. You know, it's like generally you would think that the 5-0, you know, obviously that would mean a 4-game sweep and then one in the second round.
Right.
Generally, you would think that would be the one seed beating up on a lowly 8 seed, you know. And while the Suns were a playing team and are incredibly flawed, they're still one Hall of Famer surefire on that roster right now in Kevin Durant.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll see how Devin Booker plays out.
Yeah.
You know, but like one surefire Pantheon level player in Kevin Durant.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought the Suns were going to win. I mean, especially game 4. I was like, they're not going to get swept. And then they had a chance to obviously win that when they were up late. Minnesota came through in the clutch and took over. Well, Anthony Edwards took over in the clutch, and that was that. But, yeah, I mean, for them to start off 5-0 has been impressive for sure.
Tristan Thompson out here getting rebounds. Y'all know his knees hurt. End of the first quarter. Between Cleveland and Orlando, there's about 20 seconds left. Orlando with a 6-point lead, 24-18.
Mm-hmm.
What have you seen so far in this game as we're watching it? Orlando's been on a few different runs.
Yeah, I think it's Paolo Banchero. That's Monsey's guy. He's come out, put these guys on his back, on his shoulders, doing the heavy lifting and getting them settled into a game that's going to go down. It's gonna be a four-quarter game. So we'll see what happens. But they started out strong, man. And again, they had their scoring drought, right? They started out early on fire, ended up in that first quarter with only 24 points. So
it did. Donovan Mitchell just walked out to the walked into the locker room.
Yeah, he had a hard fall. He tried to dunk. He made the dunk.
I saw him try. Yeah, I saw him try to dunk. But can we? As we, I don't even stop. No free ads. This Google Pixel commercial was running. Can you guys just keep an eye out for that? If anything comes down from that scenario over there while we're over here talking on the radio. Yeah, but no, I think that Minnesota, man, I don't know what it is about this team, but there's I love this team. I love the way they play. And I said, like, you know, people ask me, oh, well, Martin, what's your finals pick? I say my brain says Denver and Boston, but my heart says New York and Minnesota.
New York and Minnesota?
I would love that series.
Oh, my God.
I'd love that series.
You would be the only one that would love that series outside of the fan bases.
Don't come over here with any TV rating talk.
You don't want to see Anthony Edwards and Jalen Brunson?
I don't.
Like, what? Do you like basketball?
I love basketball.
Anthony Edwards is like exploding onto a scene in a way I haven't seen in a hot second.
You guys are attacking me about Anthony Edwards. I love him. I'm talking about that finals appearance. Yeah.
No, I just think, two teams that play great defense, it's going to, I think it'll be.
And I think the important thing with that, too, is it's two teams that haven't been there. Like, the Wolves have never been there, and the Knicks haven't been there in forever. So, I'm on board with you.
Since the 90s.
Nobody wants Nuggets Celtics. That sounds like the most boring finals of all time.
As much as I despise, as I despise the Knicks fan base, like, there's no arguing with the gangbusters and ratings that would bring in, too. And just the amount of eyeballs of people wanting to see the Knicks.
I don't think the Denver or Boston have like personable players. Like I don't like. When's the last time you see Jason Tatum talking trash?
Yeah, true. Yeah, that was. I get that.
Jokic doesn't even. Yeah. He acts like he don't want to be there.
He doesn't.
The Celtics are too businesslike for me. I don't like that. And I just don't like the Celtics in general.
It's going to be a 3-point shooting contest in Boston.
Yeah.
Eventually, and if they make them, they win. If they miss them, they lose by 20. And just this year, they made them a lot. That's kind of my takeaway from the Boston Celtics this season. I just think, and they would be the first team to win a finals that led the league in 3-point attempts and was last in the league in 2-point attempts.
Yeah. I mean, the way you guys are talking about this this probable, inevitable finals makes me a little nervous now. Would anybody want to watch it?
Hell yeah!
I'll watch it. I mean, the Nuggets are fun to watch when they're not annihilating your team. I just think of all the teams left in the West; they're the least watchable one.
I also think if the Super Bowl, for example, if the Super Bowl was Jaguar Seahawks, nobody's going to be like, "I'm not watching this one." You name it. Two other franchises that you're not used to seeing or don't have the Vikings and
Vikings Jets or something.
Bowl.
Yeah,
you're gonna watch it. Like it's the Super Bowl, you're gonna watch it. I don't care if it's the Cincinnati versus New Orleans, you're gonna watch it.
So Minnesota, New York. What about Dallas, Boston? With all the storylines there?
Have we not reached the end of the Kyrie to Boston conversation?
Well, it's more than that, though. So
I completely forget that Kyrie played in Boston.
Exactly. If Porzingis is back, Porzingis Dallas, those conversations with him and Luka, the stories that will come out from that stuff.
I think for me, like the issue with like a Nuggets Boston final is thinking about the teams we lost on the way to get there, like you think about
the fallen
like
homies,
yeah, though. Like well, you just think about like in 2018, right, like. You could have had Rams Chiefs in the Super Bowl, and instead we got Rams Patriots because of that offsides call or whatever, because the Chiefs couldn't close the deal in advance. So it's like, I'm watching the Super Bowl, but also like this could have been so much more entertaining.
Or how about all those years we almost got Alabama? What was that one year in college football we almost had Alabama, Oregon, and then Ohio State ran Nick Saban out of the Sugar Bowl?
No, I just love how Bo says we could have had Rams Chiefs in the Super Bowl because D-Ford jumped off sides, ignoring
else happened
the worst non-call in NFL history. It doesn't even qualify as the worst call because Vinovich didn't throw the flag. Tommy Lee Lewis is still on the ground. I will never forget that. I know, just one second. I'll never ever forget that. The anger I felt coursing through my body as I saw Nicole Roby Coleman hit Tommy Lee Lewis on that swing pass.
Yeah, I know.
There's no way the Saints weren't going to the Super Bowl. And then to have the nerve to go to the Super Bowl and we're in Los Angeles, couldn't tell by any stretch that the football team was playing. The only thing that they did was Randy changed the color of his damn donut. That's it. Randy's donut was blue and yellow instead of the normal light brown that it is. Yeah. And then to see, oh, my God. I was sitting there yelling at my TV in such a way that it was like, Martin, this is the only job for you. This Sports Talk Radio is the only job for you. Because it's like, if I had to go into a job on Monday morning where everybody else wasn't as incensed as I was about what happened, I would have been ready to fight. Like, if I was making Excel spreadsheets or whatever, I would have been furious.
Martin, I'm going to get you on my meditation plan. I'm going to get you to do a couple of woosahs.
I don't need any woosahs. I need the rest to do your job. All right, I got to go. All right, we'll be right back. Thunder Mavs preview coming up next. Martin Weiss, Kerry Rose, Fox Sports Sunday.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming! And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing.
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Martin Weiss, Kerry Rhodes, Fox Sports Sunday. Thank you to David S. Sando Gems on Twitter. He said, Martin Weiss with the best commercials take ever. Stop playing them over and over. I agree. Kerry, right now the Cleveland Cavaliers have 18 points.
Yeah.
Paolo Banchero has 14 himself.
There it is. Game 7, your stars have to show up. One star showing up, and that's why the team's winning right now, man. Orlando is looking like they're going to move on to the second round.
Yes!
So what are your thoughts on the Thunder and the Mavericks series, and how many games will the Mavericks dispatch of the Oklahoma City Thunder on their quest to win the NBA championship, as you say?
Yeah, this take's going to be hard for some people to hear, and I'm going to say this very confidently. Dallas will win this series in 5 games.
Five. Fifth.
Yes. They're going to win in 5 games. OKC has been great.
Number 5.
I know OKC won the season series, but in those games, Luka and Kyrie played in 1. And so that's what that looks like for me. In the 1 game that they played in together, they beat OKC by 35 points. So I know OKC fans don't want to hear it, but Dallas is going to win this one in short order.
Also, too, I think we talk about teams that don't have playoff experience and so on. Like, Oklahoma City for sure qualifies in that, right? I think the only guy with any significant playoff experience would be probably Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Lu Dort.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, 2 very important players on the team. But, you know, obviously Chet Holmgren, rookie, you know, and the rest of those guys have been in Oklahoma City, so they haven't been in the playoffs for a while.
Yeah, and the if you think about that first round matchup, OKC and the Pelicans, right?
I don't know if you can qualify that.
You
as playoffs.
Can't, and that's the point, right? They played a series without their star player, obviously, in Zion Williamson. And even though that was the case, I mean, there was a couple of games there that the Pelicans, if they had Zion, it would have been a different story. So I'm taking Dallas, like I said, in short order to win that series. And you know, Luka has something to prove against SGA as well, so I'm excited to see that matchup.
Is there a beef there that I'm not familiar with?
Yeah, just
like Luka got beef with everybody.
Yeah, it's just the outside. People, you know, are ranking SGA a little bit higher than Luka this year for the MVP. So I know he'll take that personally, and it'll be fun.
I'll tell you what. SGA is losing votes for me by the minute every time that damn old commercial comes on. Luka right now is miles ahead. Turn this off. We want people to listen, Chris. The people are supposed to listen to the radio. That's the goal. That's what this pro wants. It's for people to stay tuned in. Otherwise, I mean, golly, I tend to agree. I think I'll go Dallas in six.
You got six
here. Okay. I think Oklahoma City will have show a little backbone there. But I think that who's supposed to stay in front of Kyrie and Luka?
Nobody. And so you have to choose, right? Lu Dort's their best defender. Who is he going to guard?
I'd imagine you just kind of probably put him on whoever's getting hot. But the problem is, you know, Kyrie can have – I mean, both of these guys are 30-point half type guys.
Exactly.
You know, so this just – yeah, it might be a tall order for Oklahoma City. I think they need a – Chet plays great as a big man, but I think they're going to need somebody with a little more size and, like, width.
Yes.
You know, Chet is a tall man, not necessarily big man.
Yeah, for sure.
Let's go, Magic! 35-20, Steve Hartman coming up next. Martin Weiss, Kerry Rhodes, Fox Sports Sunday.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.